Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is your boy, Captain Big L, Big L Hunter, and this is going to be a little bit of a different episode. We're going to be recording for two different episodes. So what do I mean by that? Who's the we? So the we is my daughter. Say hello.
Hello.
So my daughter and I are starting up a new podcast. It's going to be called The L Boogie Show. Yeah. So we are both L Boogie. So she's going to be L Boogie Jr. I'm L Boogie Sr., obviously. So this is a little bit of Captain Hunter's podcast along with the L Boogie Show. So this episode is going to appear on both of those particular podcasts. Now, the purpose and the point of the second podcast is to get a Gen Xers, that would be me, Generation X, get his opinion on things that these crazy millennials are doing and thinking. Yeah. And that's my daughter. And that's my daughter, the millennials. So that's the purpose of that particular show. So be looking forward to that. We should be releasing episodes fairly soon. As the title of this episode is called the movie review for the movie Black and Blue, we are going to discuss that movie. She saw it first. I just saw it recently, and we wanted to give our thoughts about it. I was taking notes about it, about the movie during the she's shaking her head. I can't believe it. but I was taking notes while we were watching the movie. And once again, the reason I'm doing this for, particularly for Captain Hunter's podcast, is for just to give a police officer's perspective as to what and how the media shapes the framework of how we as society view the police and whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I'm not going to talk about police tactics and all that kind of stuff. I may address a little bit of that, but I really wanted to talk about just what we saw during the movie and how people who saw the movie would view the police, American police, and the society in which the people that were living in, particularly for the Black community. You know, many people will be viewing this movie, may view this movie and come away with the idea that many Black people are living in squalor, that they're living in deplorable conditions. The setting of the movie is in New Orleans, although they did change NOPD's badges and a bunch of other things. But the point of it is that they were living in New Orleans, the Fifth Ward. I don't know anything about the ward system down in New Orleans, wherever the Fifth Ward or Fifth Precinct would be. I think it's the Ninth Ward, actually, the Ninth Ward and the Fifth Precinct and the Ninth Ward. No, yeah, that's yeah. So I was trying to remember all that and try to take some notes. So I want to just kind of dive into that. But before we do, I just want to make sure that you all hit that subscribe button, rate it, share and like. Be on the lookout for L Boogie's podcast when we drop that. Make sure you rate, subscribe, and share those episodes as well. Once again, it's going to be just a father and daughter having conversations about what's going on in this day, in this time. We're going to be looking at dating. You know, guys, I can't really deal with my daughter dating, but she's doing it. She's 21 years old. She was going to community college. Now she's talking about going away to a four-year university. How's the dad going to feel about that? So we're just going to talk about a number of different things. So be on the lookout for that. And I will certainly announce that when that podcast drops. So right now, let's focus on what we saw today. So, L Boogie Jr.
Well, you start. You took notes.
I took notes. Yes, I did. But first of all, I want to talk about it's been getting bad reviews.
Yes.
And I'm so...
Rotten Tomatoes, you're like a 40% or something?
Yeah, I do think that Rotten Tomatoes gave it a bad score. It was like 43 or 44 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so Rotten Tomatoes has been off. But the problem is that
give it a
49. A 49. So the problem with that is that people are looking at the Rotten Tomatoes scores and thinking that they don't have to listen to that. They don't have to. They're thinking that, okay, this is a bad movie. I'm not going to go watch it. Now, remember, they gave Dave Chappelle's special like a 0% or something like that.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they gave it a 0%. Then the audience was giving it, 90s and stuff. And so we were looking it up on the drive home. And actually, on Wikipedia, the audience scores for this movie are like A-, A+, or actually A-. So the audience is really enjoying this movie, Black and Blue. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. I actually liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Okay, good. So we're both in agreement. We liked the movie.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's just set the movie up for people who haven't seen it. So Once again, the movie was set in New Orleans, modern day times. It's a female police officer, black female police officer. She joins the New Orleans Police Department. She's a rookie at this time. We understand that she was a military veteran. Obviously, she grew up in this particular neighborhood. She went away to the military. About 10 years later, she comes back after doing two tours in the military, two tours in Afghanistan, and then returns back to where her roots are from. Her mother has passed away during this time, and she joins the police department. She's a rookie at this time, so she's got to ride with different people. She takes an overtime shift. Well, before she gets to the overtime shift, so that's the setting for the movie, essentially. So now we started with the opening scene, and she's jogging down the street, and they pull the typical, she gets pulled over by the police, thrown up against the gates, and told to spread her feet apart. Actually, I think they said spread her legs, whatever. Spread her feet apart, up against the wall, and all that kind of stuff. Tell me what you thought about that. Did you even notice that happened?
No, I saw.
I mean, what I'm saying, did you notice that it happened from, I'm looking for the police interaction kind of part. Did you, I'm asking how you viewed that particular part. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I thought it was unnecessary, and you know, they try to make like excuses, like, oh, like, what did they say? There was a robbery and you matched the description, something like that. Just a reason to, you know, pull somebody over or just to see what they're doing. Like, you know, I didn't think that was right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that sets, again, getting your viewpoint, right? So does that set in your mind that, number one, police are always looking to pull over black people? I don't think that they do this generally to black females. I mean, no, I certainly think that they do it to black females.
I have a story, actually.
Okay.
So last night I went to go visit my friend. She lives in Meriden. So I parked outside her house, and it is kind of late. It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And we're just like sitting there talking, whatever. And then in the car. And then like this police officer like drive by, and like my car was on because it's cold out now. So, but like I had the lights off just because like, just, I don't know. I just had the lights off. So we're sitting there, we're talking, whatever. And then a police officer drive by. He drives by, Maslow looking in the car. And I had my hood on, and my friend, she didn't have a hood on. So then, like, so obviously, like, he, like, circles the block, but he drives, like, past the car. So then I'm, like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, yo, like, I'm about to tell her to get out, like, go in the house, like, you know, I'll talk to you later or whatever. But then he comes back, and he, like, pulls up behind us, well, my car, and he's, like, and then he, like, you know, it's nighttime, so he turns the light on, he flashes it mad bright, so I'm, like, I can't see. So me and her, we're, like, what the heck? And then she's like, what should I do? Like, and I'm like, yo, just chill. And then like, she's like, is he coming on your side or my side? And I'm like, I can't see, like this light is so bright. But then he ended up coming on like the passenger side. So then he's like, and then I guess he like gave somebody the plates. So as he's walking up to the car and I'm rolling down the window, he's like, black CRV, registered to Lawrence Hunter. I was like, I'm like, what the heck is going on?
He's saying this to you?
No, the person on the walkie-talkie is saying it to the police officer. Okay. So then he's like, oh, like, what are you guys doing here? And then my friend was like, I live right here. And then like, I'm like, and I'm just visiting her outside, we're talking. And then he was like, well, one of you guys live in Waterbury? I was like, yeah, I do. And then he was like, oh, okay, can I see both of you guys' ID? I'm like, okay. So he gave him the ID, whatever. And he was like, so did you guys go anywhere? I'm like, no, like literally, I can't see my friend. We're sitting outside, like, we're like, and he was like, you guys didn't drive around? And we're like, no. And then he was just like, oh, because there was an accident down the street. And, you know, I just want to, in your car, match the description. I'm like, okay. And then, he's walking around the car and stuff like that, talking over the walkie-talkie, saying that, like, the taillights look like they don't work. They look like there's scratches in the back. Then he comes up to the car. He's like, do your taillights work? I was like, yeah, my lights are off because, like, I'm just sitting here. But I was like, I'll turn it back on. So I turn it back on. And then he's like, you guys sure you guys didn't go anywhere? Like, I'd rather you just be honest now. And I'm like, bro, like, you know, like, I was trying so hard not to get mad. But, like, I was like, we didn't go anywhere. Like, I have no reason to lie about that. And then he was like, all right, well, you guys have a good night or whatever. And I was like, what the heck? So he was, like, really trying to get us to say something. Like, or, like, you know, admit to whatever we, like, he thinks we did. I'm like, we didn't do anything. And he even asked me, he was like, how did you get over here? I'm like, I got up the highway from Waterbury. I went down this street. Like, what do you mean? Like, come on now. If I hit a car, don't you think I would, like, go back to Waterbury? I'm not going to just stay here in front of my friends. So I was talking about it. Like, and then, but I forgot to say, when he first walked up to the car, he's like, can you guys put your hands on the dashboard? And I'm like, are you serious? But, like, he did have one of those recorder things. So he would, I don't know. It was just weird.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, so he was doing something. I guess there was an accident, probably a hit and run. And so he's doing his investigation. So I don't see a lot that's wrong with that. Now, obviously, you know that you're innocent. Well, you disagree with that? I mean, he didn't take you out the car. He didn't slam you against the car.
He just pulled up to a random car just because I was parked over on the side.
Okay, so you don't believe that he was investigating an accident?
No, I don't. I feel like probably he thought, like, maybe we're, like, like hotboxing or something. You know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
That means, like, when you smoke, like, marijuana, whatever.
The Mary Jane?
Yeah,
Mary Jane.
You smoke in the car, but your windows are up and, like, you know, just taking it
On the aroma, just basking in the ambience.
Yes, exactly. Basking in the ambience. So, I'm pretty sure maybe he thought we were, like, doing something like that. Just doing, because he was even, like, looking in the backseat of my car.
Okay.
And in the trunk with his, like, light and stuff. And I'm like, this is a hit and run. Oh, I understand you looking in the back of my car, asking my taillights work. But, like, the rest of this is really unnecessary. Why are you looking in the backseat of my car?
And so that's what this podcast is about. And also the El Boogie Show is about just talking about different stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to give a police officer's understanding about they want to see what's in the car. And maybe he did think you were hotboxing. But I do think it's very interesting that you say that you don't believe what they say. And I think that a lot of people, particularly minority communities, don't believe the police when they say that we match the description. So you say that someone, you don't believe that he was actually looking for a hit and run or an accident. You just think that he was just trying to see what he could find if he would just.
Because I think when he drove by the first time, he was like, oh, like, what are they doing? It's kind of late. You know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Like, why are they just sitting in their car? Which is understandable. But, like, you know, I don't know, like, there's a different way to do it. Like I said, you know, you lie, you chatter, like, whatever. Because I'm pretty sure the first time you drove by, I mean, it is dark, but you would have seen, like, smoke or whatever, if that's what he was looking for. Maybe he really was just looking for, I match the description, I'm putting quotations in the air. But I personally just don't believe that.
That's very interesting. I think that's very interesting. So, I don't think the movies like this help out with that perception that Black people have. Or that certain communities have, I don't think that they help. So we have to police officers have to try to be transparent about the things that they're doing and try to be honest, right? And so if you're really looking for something, just say that you're having nothing better to do. We just want to check you out. And I think that there's a way that people can do that. I don't know. I wasn't there, obviously. But I know when I was a police officer, I would say, listen, I just want to check you out, make sure you're okay. I would describe the neighborhood. Hey, this is what's going on. I never said that people fit the description if I wasn't looking for anyone. Okay. If I'm not looking for a hit and run victim, if I'm not looking or suspect, if I'm not looking for a robbery suspect or anything like that, I would never say that you fit the description. I never said that. Mm-hmm. And I hope that officers out there who listen to this would get that mindset that they would not say that. Just say that you're checking them out. I'm just checking you out. Make sure that I would always say that you're okay. Mm-hmm. You're sitting here. Is your car okay? Are you guys okay? It's cold night. Are you okay? When I start asking people to put your hand where you can see them and all that kind of stuff, I have a problem. You're absolutely right. You set off a bad environment. If you're scared, if you're cautious, all that kind of stuff, I have a problem with that. I'm not saying officers ought to be unsafe. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that, as you just said, you set people off in a tone, in a manner, a totally friendly, hopefully, and it is a consensual encounter. By consensual, I mean that the officer at any point in time can go up to people and ask them who they are and for their identification. If you refuse, which a lot of people are videotaping now and all that kind of stuff, if you refuse, then you cannot be arrested for that because you have not done anything to warrant an escalation of the use of force or intimidation tactics and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the officer, I would have to say, having been there, and based on your story, raises the escalation. This is what I talk about a lot of times. You're raising the ire of people when you say, put your hands where I can see them. Unless you believe that I'm armed, unless you believe something suspicious is going on where I am armed, right? Mm-hmm. Hotboxing in and of itself, well, may be illegal. It doesn't mean that you're armed and you pose any type of physical threat. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't obviously pull out a gun. This is the United States of America, and hurt someone. But I agree with you. It raises the tension.
Yeah. And that's what it was crazy because I said that to my friend. I was like, I doubt my dad would ever did this, like when he was working. Like, I feel like, because I remember on one day we were like driving and I think we were at the mall and probably somebody younger than 16 was like trying to practice driving, and you were like, and they were like swerving, and you pulled up to them. You're like, hey, you guys okay? Like, you guys, like, don't do that right now. Like, you know, you basically were like being nice to them. Like, you asked them in a nice way, like, basically cut it out. Like, you know, like, and so, like, I feel like he could have did the same thing. He could have just came up to the car and been like, oh, okay, like, I'm just trying to check on you guys. You know, you guys got the lights off, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Are you stranded? Are you stuck? Is somebody hurt, injured? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a way to get the same information without raising the suspicion, the fears, and the anger of the people that you're dealing with, right? And I think that, and you're absolutely right that he did that. So let's try to stay on point here with the movie. Okay.
I'm just saying though, because like...
No, I agree.
I was just basically saying in the movie, yes, when they were like, oh, you match a description of the robbery or whatever. I didn't believe it, just like I didn't believe this guy last night.
I think that that point is well taken. I hope that officers out there would understand that, mm-hmm. that sometimes people are not believed. And when you say things like that, it diminishes our authority, diminishes our procedural justice. It diminishes our police legitimacy. Police legitimacy is that everything is above board, everything is transparent. And you see the police in one way. We are there to protect and to serve with integrity, honesty, and all that kind of stuff. And when cops lie to people, and I don't like it when they lie. I've never liked it when they lie to people. The Supreme Court, I can get into this a little bit later, but the Supreme Court said that police officers can use deception to interrogate people. I don't agree with that. I don't like it. I think it's bad because you reduced police legitimacy. If I go up to people and just stop random people on the street and just say you fit the description and you're not really looking for people, this causes that anger amongst particularly the Black community, but all communities. Uh-huh. Right. So it reduces police legitimacy. And I got to actually have an episode that's going to be coming up where I talk with a former police officer, a Black police officer, police chief. And he talks about police legitimacy. So we're looking out for that. Again, what erodes a police legitimacy in people's eyes is when they went to the store, our main character and her initial partner, I think his last name was Jennings in the movie. Jennings went to the store. And they're about to buy something. And as they're about to leave the store, Tyrese Gibson's character says, he's working at the store, says to the both couples, both of the police officers, cops don't pay. And so I've always hated that. I always paid for stuff. There was a McDonald's where we in the city, and they would give officers free food. I never went there and I paid for the stuff. Because it looks bad that struggling single mothers were in there buying stuff in the dollar menu. You go into stores, they're giving a coffee, although I have taken a free coffee here and there. But I would always buy something else. I would always buy some chips or something else just to show that I would give money. Oh. I probably shouldn't admit that, but it's true. It's the truth. Yeah. But you got single mothers in there, people on WIC, people on food stamps, all the kind of stuff, and you getting paid a certain amount of money, have the means to pay, and don't pay. And I think that that creates a really bad image, and that reduces police legitimacy. It also talks about crooked cops. Now, we get to the crooked cops aspect of it, where the main bad guys in the show are the police, where they are involved in the drug trade in and of themselves. They're either hiding, the drug dealers not refusing to arrest them. There's gang warfare going on, and the police are in the middle of it, stoking up both sides, playing both sides, taking bribery money from both sides. And for whatever reason, according to the movie, the main characters in the movie, which is the guy who was in Avengers, who played Frank Grillo, I think is his name. Anyway, so he's the bad guy in the movie. He's on the Vice team, and their narcotics team. He ends up shooting one of the biggest gang members' cousins or sons or stepsons. Yeah. And so as the movie goes on, right, so these are crooked police officers involved in the gang warfare, playing both sides and all that kind of stuff. And then next thing you know, they end up committing murder in order to silence the witnesses to their illegal activity. Mm-hmm. Now, when you see stuff like this, how does that make you feel? Do you think that this is going on in police departments, or what do you think?
I think it is. Wasn't there a case like that here in Waterbury when a police officer was like selling like weed or something that was like found in his like trunk?
Yes, there was. So, I think unfortunately, I have to admit to that. Yes. Yeah. He did get fired. Yes, he did. Yes.
So I definitely do think it's going on in some way, form. Because I feel like, you know, they're like, oh, I got it in. Like, I'm probably not going to get S car or whatever, you know. So I don't think it's like as popular as like, you know, media and movies try to make it seem. But I do think in some aspect of it is going on.
Yeah. Well, I'd hate to disagree with you, but I have to admit that there were a few officers that we had to fire because they were doing some nefarious things and dealing with drugs in with themselves. There was a bad case down in Baltimore within the last year. There was a gun task force. They were supposed to be tracing down guns, and instead they were planting guns on people. They were planting evidence on people, selling drugs themselves. When they would take the guns and drugs off of people, they would keep some of it for themselves. So unfortunately, this movie does have some aspects of real life. And then once again, I think that just taints the pool of people who are looking at and reviewing this type of stuff. And I think because
I will agree, like, I don't think I was ever scared of the police or nothing, because obviously you're a police officer, you have a police officer, like, friends, I guess, you know. So, and plus we had, like, PAL, which is, like, the police athletic league. So, like, you know, we were around, like, police officers, I was when I was younger. So, I was never afraid. It wasn't until, like, these, like, you know, as I get older and I see all these like cases, and I'm just like, whoa, like I would have never like thought anything about this. Like even now, like, you know, getting pulled over last night, like I was nervous because I'm like, he probably does think like we're out here like doing the worst. Like literally, I'm just sitting out here talking to my friend, and he probably think, you know, we're doing something crazy. Like you just never know what could happen, especially. So it's just, and like I feel like before I would have never been nervous about that. I'm just like, oh yeah, you know. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm
going to
tell you what I was doing or whatever,
And I think it's interesting that you said that you had a certain perspective of the police. Then you start reading stuff in the paper or hearing about it or Facebook or however you're getting your information. And now you have this different mindset about it, you know, and that is very hurtful. It's the truth, but it's hurtful because police officers should understand what they do and what they stand for. And they're integrity in the oath of office that they have taken, and they really should stand by that. And unfortunately, they get corrupted by the glitz and the glare and the power that they have, right?
That's what I was thinking. And my friend was saying that last night. She was like, he probably like was bullied in school and stuff like that.
They all think we're all bullied in school. Yeah. We weren't all bullied in school. But going on the bullying aspect of it, right? So we saw that police officer, remember the police officer who he was part of a team, and they went, when they got the burglar alarm call, he's the one that was put the gun to Tyrese Gibson's head and all that kind of stuff. So he would be that type of bully, right? Uh-huh. He had no other thing. I actually think they did a good job trying to show the different types of officers in this, right? We dealt with the corrupt police officers, right? So now we got the bully police officer, right? Who's just high on power and just kind of sticking it to anybody he can because he can. Yeah. Right? So I think that's
about that scene once I started like crying?
It hurt me because I can understand what he went through. Obviously, I never put anybody through that. And number two, I've never been through that, but I hear and see the pain that powerless people, particularly Black people, have dealt with when they have been bullied by people who are just high and drunk on power. Mm-hmm. At the end of the movie, remember what Tyrese pulls the gun on him, mm-hmm, and says, how does it feel?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, I'll let you pass. No, I won't.
Yeah. So you have to. I really hope that people can see that aspect of it. Any officers who would listen to this, I hope that they can see that. You know, mm-hmm. the different types of officers that were here. Now we have we talked about the crooked officers. We had the bully officer. So let's talk about the officer on the fence, the one who's turning his eye, and that would be Jennings, right? Her partner, right? Her name in the movie was Alicia West. Alicia West. Okay. Yes, Alicia West. That was her name in the movie. So her partner wasn't crooked. And then in the end of the movie, he does the right thing by shooting the real bad guy, crooked officers, shooting him. He doesn't kill him, but he shoots him. But he was on the fence and he did nothing when they were trying to kill, when they were robbing people. And so that he is the one, and I would say this to everyone, to, no matter what line of work someone is in, it's the people in the middle who are the real problems. They make it so easy for the crooked people, because you know what the crooked people are doing, because you don't dine them out, because you don't rat them out. And what did he say in the movie? If you tell this, then you will become a rat. It's not about, he didn't care about doing the right thing. He cared about his reputation and how other people would see him. What I'm saying is, just for the audience who's listening, there was a time when West gets away from the crooked people who are chasing him, her. She calls her partner, Jennings. Jennings then responds to go pick her up, and they're having a conversation. And then West says, I got to turn this body cam footage in of when they're trying to kill me. That it shows them murdering these innocent little, well, they're not innocent, but they show them murdering these drug dealers. They then turn the gun on me. And it's all captured on my body cam. As he's talking to her, then he reveals that he understands and knows exactly who these players are in this game. He's not a part of the game, but he understands who the players are. So his advice to her is not to turn him in, not to call internal affairs, but to give it to the captain and let the captain make the decision. That way she could save her own reputation. So he cared about his own reputation. He cared about his own, the way that he was viewed more than he cared about the integrity of the organization more than he cared about anything else. And that those are the types of officers that the people are complaining about, because as the saying goes, the bad apple corrupts the, what is the saying?
A bad apple ruins the bunch.
Yeah. A bad apple spoils the bunch. Mm-hmm. So it's the bad apples, right? The crooked cops are out there doing everything, but it's the other officers on the side who aren't saying anything, and they are being slowly corrupted, right? So that they become the problem.
Yeah, because I think like that is like a big thing. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to be perceived as a snitch, or snitches get stitches, or probably he's thinking nobody else is going to want to work with him because they're going to think he's going to snitch on things. And so it is like,
yes.
Keeps going.
Yeah. So what did you think about the aspect of when they said, and I'll have to answer this because I'm black as well, when they talked about, see, the salty veteran tells the newer officer, West, that now they're both black, they're sitting down eating dinner. He tells her that these aren't your people anymore. Oh. You're now blue. You're not black anymore, but you're blue. That's the name of the movie, Black and Blue, right? Not talking about people's eyes. It's talking about being black and being blue. So the salty veteran officer who's black is in on the corruption, is trying to school this young officer that you're no longer black, but now that you have to be blue. It's us against them. What did you think about that?
I think that's completely true now. Nowadays, especially because of all this stuff in the media, but I think even before that, like, they're just like, people just get more nervous around cops. Like, I don't know. They probably just think you're going to snitch on them, or, you know, you can't be like a regular person. Like, when you take your uniform off, you still are like, you know, at work or whatever. And people can't distinguish the two. So I definitely think like some people believe that. And I don't think it should be true. I don't think people should be like more nervous or not be allowed to be black anymore just because they want to do the right thing. But I think people like associate that, and I don't get why.
Yeah. Well, I think because they view the system as being rigged against them as black people, right? So, and if you're going to join the other team, even
Or they probably think you're a snitch too.
They think you're a snitch. Yeah. They think that you're on the other side. West had grew up, as we talked about in the introduction here, West grew up in this city, and she had a friend, and I want to talk about the friend now, just to kind of couple on that. She had a friend, a female friend. I don't remember the female friend's name in the movie, but whatever her name was, they grew up together, and now the friend no longer wanted to associate with the police officer because she was a police officer. And then she said, what she said the same thing, that you chose your side.
Yeah.
A West character says to her, well, listen, I asked you to come with me to the army. Let's get away from this life. So you chose your path in life. So don't be mad at me as a police officer for choosing the path in life. And so West chose the more upstanding path in life, obviously joining the military, serving her country, and now becoming a police officer who had integrity. Whereas her friend, who grew up now, had a child, presumably out of wedlock. Not that makes you a bad person in and of itself. And you chose to be around these criminals and drug dealers and stuff. So yeah. You chose your path. You both were on the same path, and you chose your path. And so she now says that she chose the other side, right? So this is the point that I try to make, is that it's seen as two different sides. Either you're with the police or against the police. Either you're black or that you're blue. And I do know to a certain extent that white people do deal with that particular perspective, right? I don't think that it's as heavy in the white community as it would be in the black community. I don't know.
I feel like they would be like, oh yeah, my friend's a cop. Like, you know, like they would probably be like arrogant about it. But like black people are like, nah, he's a cop. I'm good. Like even like, you know, some of my guy friends, they'd be like, and they didn't hear that, they're like, oh, your dad's a cop. Like, nah, I'm good. Like, we're like, we're not going to do anything to you. As long as you don't do nothing, he's not going to do anything. So it's just, I don't know, you guys just get a bad rep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with that. That's a stigma that we have to try to break somehow. But, you know, movies like this aren't going to help.
No.
Viral videos aren't going to help. You know, crooked cops aren't going to help.
Especially like when we do hear like stories that are happening and like, oh, like there's police brutality against a black person. We're like, oh, that guy was white. And then when it's like a black person that did it, we're like, oh my goodness, why would you do that to us?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even though like they don't consider us to be on their side, we're still just as hurt. Like, why would you do that? You know?
Yeah. And so sometimes, and I think that perception that you have that, you know, why would this black cop do this? When I talked about that situation in Baltimore, when you look at there's actually mugshots because many of the police officers did get arrested when they got busted for what they were doing. I think over half of them were black.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a black person, the black captain, I'm, well, retired now, obviously. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people can get caught up in corruption. There's good officers who are black, good officers who are white, good officers who are Hispanic, good officers who are male, good officers who are female. Converse that, there's bad black, white, female, male, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. So you have to take a police officer for what they are and who they are and try not to judge them just because they're wearing the badge. Since I retired, a lot of people have sent me Facebook friend requests, which is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people who I knew for years, but now that I retired, maybe the word got out, now they're sending me Facebook requests. I don't know if there's a
correlation
between that. But I just find it to be interesting. So we get into the situation where, and I think this movie was directed by black people or had a lot of input into it. What I didn't appreciate, and once again, I'm looking at the social aspect of it, is that the main housing project, the police said that they no longer patrolled it. And the only time they went into that project was when they were going to get blue. In other words, if there was a police officer who was calling for help. And I did not appreciate the fact that that they portrayed the projects as this crazy place.
Yeah,
you know, I think that hurts. Yeah, run down and people, you know, they got to stand by a barrel of fire to get warm. It's just kind of terrible, you know. Just.
But I feel like that's also probably how they see us.
I'm sure it is how they see us. Yes.
I agree. We should probably put ourselves in a different light. Like, we could have been like, I don't know, a better neighborhood, like better conditions.
And that's something that we have to deal with. Now, I'm not going to blame anyone else, but Black people have to get it together and fix up our own stuff and be mindful to fix up our own stuff. There was a point, once again, I think it was a guy's name is Frank Grillo. I could be saying that wrong, but he played Crossbones in the Avengers movie. Anyway, so his character, when he was chasing after West with the, you know, that he's chasing her through these projects and he's having a dialogue where they're saying that after Katrina, a lot of the good people left, businesses closed down. We were let down by the government. We were let down by FEMA. The good people left and all that kind of stuff. And I think that his dialogue was very good and very important. It shows how the situation could have deteriorated. And so now he's saying that I saw all this kind of stuff going on. And I want a piece of the pie too, right? That's why it becomes corrupt, you know? Again, Black people have to be the ones to try to fix this mess and try to fix these problems, right? You can't look to other people to fix it. We have to be the ones who try to fix this problem that we created, right? It's not white people driving through neighborhoods and spray painting stuff. You know, so.
And I don't understand that either, like how you could be like, run down and not care about your house or how it looks on the outside, inside. And it could also be the landlords, you know, whoever owns that building. If they are getting calls like, oh, can you come repaint this? And if they don't care enough to repaint it. But yeah, you should probably take pride in where you live and not let it be out.
I don't think there's any probably about that. I think you should take pride in where you live. And yeah, you know, we have to fix that mentality about ourselves where we say to ourselves, we have to fix it up. If the landlord's not going to do it, we have to do it. Mm-hmm. If the city's not going to come in here and do it, we have to do it. And so that's something we have to change that about ourselves.
Some people, like, you know, like you always tell us when we were younger, like, you have to care about other people's stuff like you would care about yourself. So I think because maybe they're like, oh, I'm just renting it, so I don't have to do that, like, whatever. But it's like, you're still renting it. Still, you know.
You still live there.
Yeah, so it's like you should want to not live like that or whatever.
Yeah, so. I agree. So that really was the biggest point that I had to say, that most of the notes that I had. So I just want to talk about how the police are viewed from the aspect of taking free gifts and food from people, how we're viewed as far as the stops that we do. Talk about the different officer types. Obviously, the crooked officer, the crooked officers that were in the movie who were stealing, selling drugs, playing the gangs against themselves, getting a piece of the pie. Talk about the old salty officer who doesn't care anymore, just kind of waiting to get his veterans pay and pay out and stuff. But then his words and how they reflected upon the rookie officer as they're eating dinner. Even let's go back for a second here. What did you think about when the veteran officer, when they went got dispatched to the bar fight, the veteran officer then slamming this guy's head in?
Into that the was car. Real like dramatic and like but I feel like that is sometimes how they just go overboard. And I understand he was doing it because he saw him like pulling the gun on the rookie, but it's like, it didn't take all that. You could have slammed him once. Didn't go out.
Well, I'm glad you said he could have slammed him once. He deserves one slam.
No, yeah. like pin him against the car is what I mean. Not actually slam him. But pin him against the car, put the handcuffs on him, and then you could have been like, this was like, but like, they repeated like slamming, and I think he was like saying stuff like, you know, it was just like, what? Like, this is so unnecessary. But obviously, it does go on, so that's why they put it in the movie. So I like that they put it in the movie, but it was just like, it's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch, And I'm cringing as I'm watching this because, unfortunately, it does go on. You know, people get excited and go over the top. Mm-hmm. He did pull a gun off of the person because the person that he slammed against the car was going to shoot the officer. And I just showed her bad tactics, right? You don't turn your back when you're in the crowd like that.
Yeah.
Someone should disperse the crowd. It was terrible tactics. It was terrible tactics.
Yeah. What's going on? I'm like, what? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that would not have happened, right? Mm-hmm. You disperse the crowd. I don't want to give all away all. Well, it's not really secrets. You disperse the crowd, get the people away from you. You don't get surrounded like that. You know, you don't turn your back. And so, anyway, it was bad tactics on her part, but it's a movie, and I'm sure that they had a point in showing that. And I'm sure the point is that she could have put herself in the place where we'd be killed. The salty veteran had his mind on the entire scope of everything, and then pull the guy away, slammed on a car a few times, and pulled the gun off out of his waistband. Uh-huh. You know, so that's another officer. It was the old Salter veteran. The officer in the middle, right, Jennings, the original partner who knew what was going on as far as the corruption, and was trying to help her to do the right thing, but do the right thing in the wrong way, right? Instead of going to an internal affairs.
I don't really blame him, though. Like, I feel like if I was by a police officer, or I probably would be saying, I'm minding my business. Like, if it don't affect me, I'm minding my business.
You know,
And obviously that's not good, but it's just like,
and I think that people understand that they can be hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't get backup on calls.
Since she's seen all of it. Like, I do absolutely agree with her doing something about it. But, like, I feel like him, like, going out his way to do something about it, it was like, who's really going to do that? But there should be people that are take initiative and stop what's going on.
If there's more officers who do the right thing. Now, in the end of the movie, he did do the right thing.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get in trouble, fired, whatever, because, you know, everybody who's going to get caught up in that investigation should.
Oh, yeah. What did you think about that ending, too? When Tyrese Gibson, he put on, like, her jacket and all that to bring it back to police station. Like, did you think that was, like, realistic?
No, because there's usually keys and key cards, unless she gave all the codes and keys and stuff like that to get into the secure building. I didn't really have a problem with it. I mean, it's a little far-fetched, but okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to end the movie somehow. She obviously could not have done it. She was not going to get anywhere near the police station. Mm-hmm. Everyone was looking out for her. So I think that was actually a fairly good.
And I thought that part was kind of stupid too. They're like the guys are, oh yeah, we got her, or like, you know, over the walkie talkie. And it's like, Why weren't you waiting until she at least got in the back seat? Because, you know, I didn't think in police cars in the back seat, you can't get out or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
I thought it was stupid. But obviously, they did it to make it, like, more of a movie.
To make it more of a movie. And also, there's different channels, too, right? Mm-hmm. So police officers have different channels. So they might have thought that with the channel that the bad cops were on, was not being monitored, and she happened to be on the same one. I'm just trying to give a plausible explanation.
Yeah.
So it certainly would have been better to say, hey, listen, get in the car. But whatever. So that's the different types of officers. So we have the crooked officers, the officers on the fence. We have Jennings, who's the officer on the fence. We have the good officer, obviously, is the protagonist who's going to do the right thing. We have the salty veteran. We have the bully cops that we talked about before, just kind of pulling his gun because he can, on a power kip. Yeah. Then, of course, the community aspect, we have to clean up our communities because we're viewed a certain way. You're absolutely right. We are viewed a certain way and we have to clean up ourselves. We can't expect the police to do it. We can't expect FEMA to do it. We can't expect anyone else to come in there and save us. Nobody's coming to save us. We have to do it ourselves. Yeah. So. And I agree with you. You shouldn't want to live that way. Even if you're renting, you should not want to live that way.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that'll wrap it up. I enjoyed the movie. I would give it an A as well. I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, little stuff, little far-fetched, bad tactics from a police officer watching this movie. It's like, come on, that ain't going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, for an action movie, it was good. You know, good running, good scenes, good action.
I think the overall moral of the story and all that was good. But some parts of it executed was like a little weird. Like there was like real like dramatic and like scenes. Like when she like slammed her hands against the car. I'm like, what is this supposed to be, a scary movie? Like, what's going on?
When she was running down the street and she meets Jennings, who she called to come there to come rescue her from these crooked cops. Jennings is waiting on the street and he's looking around. And next thing you know, she bangs on the window saying, I'm here.
So there's certain parts I was like, what is happening? Like, yeah. When it was like filmed or whatever. But overall, yes, I do agree. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
That part where Tyrese crying, I was like, but I definitely do understand. Like, they were just trying to show like
how. Do you think he should not have been crying?
Oh, come on, man.
You're a
man.
No, because I think that that's the point, is that I'm powerless and what can I do?
Uh-huh.
Listen, that whole thing, and there's been a lot of research about this, is emasculating for people, right? And not just for Black people, but for anyone who has been treated this particular way is emasculating. You're a man. I called you. That's what Tyrese kept saying to him. Tyrese, for those who have not seen the movie yet, we're talking about the scene where Tyrese puts the alarm in the store that he's working at to try to get assistance. What's that?
They never go to the convenience store either, I don't think.
They did. That's when the bully cop got there.
No, but I'm saying they usually never go to the convenience store, I thought. Like, they went there, yes, because they thought that she was there.
Those two officers, the bully officer who showed up?
No, I'm saying they don't go there for calls. Like, if they were to call any other time. Because remember earlier in the movie, he was like, well, I tried to call you last night.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I'm saying they never really go to the convenience store. They only went there because they thought...
Right, so he was the owner of the store was complaining that something, they got robbed or something like that happened.
Yeah, and he tried to call them and they didn't.
And they didn't come for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And that just shows that the perception that this community, this neighborhood, and the problems in the neighborhood don't matter. Yeah. And he, even though he was there, and I've done this, people have said, listen, I've gone into stores or gone to see people or drove down the street, and they said, I gotten flagged down and said, hey, you the officer who's come to take this call? And I'm like, nah, but I'll take it right now. Because I understand that there's a frustration that people have when the community is waiting for people, right? They call and there's a tier system, a priority system. And so we will always get dispatched to the higher priority calls first, right? The shootings, the fires, fights in the street, rather than a larceny of, somebody's taking baby Pampers or something like that. So that's obviously lower on the priority. And so whatever this the owner of the store was complaining about was just lower priority. He called 24 hours ago and they still hadn't shown up yet. And now here these officers are getting coffee and all this kind of stuff and he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, but that would answer the question as to why the officers showed up there for the burglary call, because that would rank as a higher priority. That makes sense, uh-huh. Right? So they think it could be a robbery in progress or a burglary in progress. But back to Tyrese's character, he's saying now that I called you and this is the way I'm being treated.
Yeah.
I'm being treated this way. I called you for help. You didn't come and help me. You came and put me in handcuffs and are roughing me up. And there's a powerlessness to that. There's a sense of hurt that is beyond belief that this is the way we are constantly being treated in this neighborhood. When the officer who was shot, West, his character, she's shot and she's running through the neighborhood. She's knocking on different people's doors and nobody's going to help her. Why? Why is nobody willing to help her? Because this is the way the police are viewed by their actions and by the distrust in the community, the corruption that these other officers are doing. Everybody knows this stuff, right? If the police are selling drugs and planting evidence and doing all this crazy stuff, everyone in the community will know about this. Everyone will hear about this, and this presents a problem. And so therefore you don't get that trust, right? I talked about police legitimacy before. This erodes the trust and the legitimacy and all that kind of stuff. So that this is the problem. So that's why Tyrese's character was crying. And I don't think that it was far-fetched to him to be crying.
Yeah.
You know? So if you notice too, when they pulled up his rap sheet, when they went to check and see if he had any warrants, it said he was convicted for resisting arrest, mm-hmm. Which is a very interesting charge. You have to be resisting arrest, right? So what are you being arrested for? He didn't get convicted of that,
uh-huh.
Right? A lot of subtleties people didn't pick up on.
Yeah.
So let's just say he was being arrested for fighting or for burglary or for larceny. That charge presumably was thrown out and he wasn't arrested for that. But what they did find he did resisted this authority.
Yeah.
And so that's why he wasn't going to resist anymore, because his life is ruined because he's a felony. Probably, you know, you might not be able to vote, can't go to school, can't do all this kind of stuff because you have this conviction on you. So now he's just got to work in a little convenience store, mm-hmm. Grocery store. That's where he's got to work at. And so he doesn't want that anymore. So he's not going to resist. He's not going to fight back because he already got messed up the first time.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, definitely does.
Yeah.
It did not make sense why he was crying. It was just like a little like, all right. But probably also because of that meme before, like, what when people make fun of Tyrese.
No, I was trying.
What do you want from me?
When I was thinking about this in the movies, I was like, how am I going to do this podcast and not mention that? Yeah. And here you go, mention it.
I think that's why. I was like, come on, Tyrese. It's too early to be crying in movies again. Like, give us a couple years and forget that.
Oh, man. What yeah. more do you want from me? That's just so funny.
I know.
Too funny. But
so I think that's the only reason why I said that. I definitely think it was, yeah, like you said, it was realistic, you know. Yeah. It was demasculating and all that. So it was just Tyrese, it's too early for him to be crying in the movie.
Okay, well, you make sure you mention that to him on Twitter. See how he responds.
I will make him on Instagram because he was promoting this movie a lot, and I was like, let me see.
Yeah, well, listen, I enjoyed the movie. I think people should see it. It's disappointing that it's already being dwindled down in the number of showings. 2 o'clock show, and that was the only show that was available for the day. Yeah, yeah.
Because wow. I know. I went to go see it last week, and I could have sworn they had, like, a lot of, like, showing. Well, not a lot, but probably, like, however many they have in a day, like, 6, 4, whatever it is. They had that many.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that's all I saw was today, was 220 show. But
whatever. I wonder if they got, like, a lot of, like, publicity, like as far as, like, advertising, like, on regular TV and all this other stuff, too. Because, like, I know I've seen it a lot because I follow Tyrese on social media. But, like, you know, if you don't follow Tyrese or follow, like, her or, you know, anybody else that was in the cast, like, are you really going to know about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I try not to watch TV. I don't know, but that's a good question. And I was questioning why it wasn't doing so well. And this is just some thoughts that were going through my head. Is it mostly because it's a black cast, although there are a substantial number of white people in it? Uh-huh. Is it because nobody wants to see a crooked cop movie anymore concerning all this going on? Was it the Rotten Tomatoes stuff that's kind of tanking it? I mean, it's very curious, but I think it was a very good movie. Yeah. I think it was a very, I would go see it again. Mm-hmm. I may actually go see it again.
Yeah, that's my thing too. Cause like people will ask like, oh, like, as I think even All Eyes on Me, the Tupac movie, it got like a bad review or Rotten Tomato got like an 18%. And then I think I was talking about it with my coworker. That's why it's on my mind. And then he was like, oh, you went to go see that? I was like, yeah, I went to the theaters to see it. Like, I feel like you got to support black movies. Like, you know, well, if you agree with it. And so I don't like, I feel like a lot of people are like, nah, like they're not spending money on movies anymore.
They're just bootlegging it.
No, I don't even think they're bootlegging it. I think some people just wait until it comes on like Netflix or Hulu or whatever, like the streaming sites are now. Like, I don't think a lot of people are really caring for the movies anymore.
Well, I was thinking about that too, and I hope movies do not go away. I enjoy going out. I enjoy the outing, and just to sit in your home all day. And pretty soon, we're not going to have any reason to leave the house.
Yeah,
you can order groceries. You can watch movies. You can, you don't have to, you can shop on Amazon. We're not going to leave the house anymore soon. You know, so it's too bad. So that's the movie review for today. Thank you so much, L Boogies. We were looking forward to this on the L Boogie Show, as well as Captain Hunter's podcast. It'll be on both platforms. Make sure that you guys rate, subscribe, and share this episode. Share it in your Facebook. Make sure that you share it too, Lauren. Yes. Tell everybody that you've been on, a guest on Captain Hunter's podcast.
I am honored and privileged.
No, the honor and privilege is all mine. And if you want to support the show, you guys can do it through Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, CPTL Hunter, that's Captain L Hunter. And hit me back, cptlhunter@gmail.com, cptlhunter@gmail.com. If you like the show, tell me what you think. If there's any other topic that you would like for me to discuss, I do plan to do another movie review about that movie that's coming up, Queen and Slim. Let's talk about Harriet. Did you see Harriet?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay, we can't talk about that. Okay.
I will see it tomorrow. I actually have an AMC gift card, and it'll be $6 a month.
Okay, so when you see that, we'll talk about Harriet as far as the social aspects of it. I'm trying to get a professor from some university, some African-American studies professor, to talk about it. So we'll see what goes on with that. But anyway, so that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Hit me back. Send me an email. Also, follow me on Instagram. You'll follow Tyrese and Lauren and follow me on Instagram. CPTL Hunter, Captain L Hunter. Follow me on Twitter, CPTL Hunter. And that's it. Until next time, much love and peace.